for more info.
Start living. Start listening. From features through music to news. Reflecting your views, this is CYTR's thing.
CITR 101.9 FM broadcasting live from Vancouver, UBC.
Accelerated program.
Accelerated programming since 1937.
Hello and welcome to the Community Living Show. We're also on Facebook if you want to see us live, but however, we're not doing the commencing on the telephones unless we have our special guest here right now. Am I right, Michael?
Yeah, ours.
Hang on. He's suggesting the Facebook account for
everybody.
We are live
Facebook
on Facebook.
Live? Yeah. That's awesome. I don't have to do it. I can just share it.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah. Oh, we got Kelly. Can you just a little bit more?
There we go.
Yeah. We have Tatiana with us.
Hello.
I always had trouble saying your last name.
Oh, it's always trouble. I'm Ukrainian. Golota.
Yeah. I should be ashamed of that because my grandfather was born in Kiev.
Really?
Yeah. He escaped the Bolshevik Revolution.
Good for him.
Yeah.
So, really?
So that was like a lot. That was like... Maybe, what are we talking, like over 100 years ago now?
No. Oh, actually, it's 2017-18, so the revolution was in 1917.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100 years.
100 years,
My
wow.
God, wow.
That's pretty amazing stuff. But anyway.
Lots of things changed since then.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why you're here, because you're trying to change some things in fashion.
I'm trying to change, like, not really change, but embrace what we have. Not really drastically change.
Speaking of fashion, Michael is the big thing on fashion, just to let you know.
Actually, I think that was
how we first met
was through the fashion show. Yeah, and the theme behind it, of course, was as your new Facebook campaign was No Size, No Number. It was something around that idea of we should make fashion fit the person and not the person.
Yeah.
So.
And the sizes and the numbers, that bothered me for years and years because not every size fits everybody and not size... They stamp it size 12 or 14 or 16, but it might not be true. It all goes by the body shape and body heights. And the number. For me, the number is like, come on, why are we numbering people in the way of, oh, you're 12, so you're not a model anymore. Or you're 16, you cannot be on the runway because we only take size 4.
Yes.
Yes, you can be anywhere because you're representing the most of the population.
Right.
None of us like all of us size 4 or 0. Right?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know too many size 0.
Yeah.
I don't think...
And the number for me is also another thing is age. Age restriction. We only see young models on the runway and I inspire myself when I was invited to walk for the Vancouver Fashion Week as at the age of 44. So if you can start your modeling career at 44, there is no number, really.
Yeah.
So that's, for me, was kind of inspiring myself to go for it.
Yeah. 44 is a great age to...
I know, right?
Because there's a whole age group of ladies that need to know that
And it's also,
they're still beautiful, right?
It's amazing age too, because we are not going to schools, like, mm-hmm. you know, for say as a students and in their 20s, the model age, right?
Yeah.
We're not going to the schools anymore. Our family after age of 40 pretty much stable, and the kids a little bit more grown. Now mm-hmm. it's not the case, because now kids are being born in that age too. So you have 40 years old young mothers as well. But at that age, I'm talking about, for example, my population, immigrants or non-immigrants who lives here. And when you turn 40 and over 40 and 45 plus, you almost have, you're almost empty nester. You almost have extra disposable income to dress well.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I'm very frustrated why we don't see women like that on the runway. So women like me and my age will be related to them and buying those clothes in those sizes.
Yeah.
So for me, that's frustration. That's why I started like small movement, no size, no number.
Well, hopefully
Instagram.
It grows into a big yeah. movement and becomes the standard.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Yeah. I also got inspired by, I don't know if you've seen the movie Embrace. Mm-hmm. It's, yes, so Jereen inspired me to do more, and now I will become their ambassador as well.
Wow.
So it's kind of amazing too. It's a body positive movement as mm-hmm. well. And I think I kind of embrace myself doing all of this, because as you know, how much stuff I'm doing
yeah.
to empower and inspire women. Who does the pageants at this age? But I do. Just to show women that we are not dead after 40. We can do many, many things and inspire young women too.
Well, you've actually not only placed, but you've won a few pageants, haven't you?
Yeah. So. I'm a former Mrs. British Columbia, mm-hmm. which I think from that pageant I got the pageant bug. Because before that I was laughing. I'm a director for community outreach for She Talks, and that's inspirational speaking for women. It's a platform for women to have a voice and share their stories. So one of our events, we had ladies from local pageant, and they approached me in the intermission, and they said like, oh, you should run for pageant. And I was laughing at them saying, you girls are so cute, who does pageants at 44? And they said like, why, you can try, it's, you know, we have no age restriction or the size restriction, so please do it. And our pageant is also our provincial one, it's a leadership program. So it's workshops, it's etiquette classes, it's all Miss Teen, Miss and Mrs. all together. So all generations mixed up mm-hmm. and all different, all of the women and girls, they all different shapes, sizes and mentality and, you know, different countries they came from. There's immigrants, there's local, there, you know, like it's a really good mix like of everything. So I thought, oh, I'm going to lose, 3 days of that? So, and I entered it. And then apparently they credited me a lot. So I won the title of Mrs. British Columbia. And then from that point, I went on national pageant for Mrs. Canada Globe as a Mrs. British Columbia Globe. I did not win that title, but I came back and I was chosen as a at-large title ambassador for Mrs. Universal. So I represent Miss Canada Universal Elegance, because in my group age it's 45 plus. Mm-hmm. And I represented Canada at London in last September. That was great experience. I met so many women from around the world, and now we're friends. And I can say that I can fly anywhere in the world right now and I will have a friend and place to stay, which is amazing.
Yes, amazing.
That was the whole purpose of the pageant, I think, just to and there was women that are inspiring me what they do on a daily basis. It's amazing. So when I got back, I also got involved with the Mrs. Canada World pageant. Mm-hmm. And 2 days ago I was crowned as Mrs. Canada Globe Classic. So I will go and represent Canada again. Super proud of it. At the World International Pageant. It's going to happen in California in June.
Wow.
So this is like, I'm super proud to represent the country, especially as an immigrant. Because that's, it's amazing achievement, I think. 20 years in Canada, and I embrace it completely, and I love this country. And for me, just have this Canadian flag with maple leaf and what Canadian stands for, that's exactly what I'm trying to do.
Actually, you do stand for Canada, because you as an immigrant, you're proud.
Yes, very much.
And you represent the multiculturalism that's supposed to be Canada.
Yeah.
So, how about we make our listeners really fall in love with you? Let's start from. Okay, you grew up in the Ukraine.
I grew up in Ukraine, and because at that time, which was what, I'm 46 now, 46 years ago, the times were hard for women to give birth and stay with the kid at home. So my mom had to leave me with my grandma and go to bigger city and get a job there. Mm-hmm. Same thing with my dad. He was at that time finishing Marine College. So, and the only city that would hire Marine specialists, like master mariners and all of the sailor jobs, will be Odessa, which is Black Sea. So from Lviv region, which is on the borderline of Poland and Czech Republic, they moved to Odessa, and I stayed with my grandma in the village in the mountains, and it was really magical, because at that time my grandma was a seamstress, and she did like a freelance fashion designs for people in the village. And the village was big. It's not like, 50 people. Everybody knows everybody, but if she will make you a dress, you will bring her milk for a month. So those like basics, and it's amazing, right? The barter that was before. And the door was always open to people, and we had women coming over pretty much every evening, doing cross-stitching, sewing, talking, watching TV, and kind of like, it was a community sense right there. It was really, really, truly magic, right? So I grew up with those basics, and I understand how I can work the ground if I need to. I can ride the horse if I need to. I can, I can plant the plants and
I can
harvest.
Get you photographed on the. I can find a horse and photograph you on the horse.
It's really.
I have another friend.
It's a village living, right?
Yeah.
And when you have those basics, it's easy for you to grow from them, because the roots are very stable on the ground, right? Like your feet are there, because if you can grow on bread and milk, you can do anything in the world, because you're... I'm speechless with that, because it's impossible to even explain. When you have those basics in life, it's easier to grow from them.
Yeah.
And when you fell back to the basics again, so you can grow again.
Yeah. Well, one of the basics that you talked about is being involved in a community, mm-hmm. and building community.
Yes.
So that's one of the basics that you talked about, and it's one of the important things that Kelly and I see is building community, and that's part of the purpose of this show.
Mm-hmm.
Along with advocacy for people with disabilities. And we'll get to you, and you, because you said in another conversation
we had
yeah. You have to understand, Tatiana is a very easy person to talk to, and I think we have when you first told me about your movement, No Size, No Number, I think we had almost a 2-hour conversation.
Yeah, on the phone.
Yeah. And it was, and you had told me about a hidden disability, but we'll get to that a little bit later. So you grew up learning the real basics of community, right on down to bartering for dress milk.
Yeah.
I'll stitch your socks and I get a loaf of bread, sort of thing, which I think is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Because at that time, people did not have much money to spend on extras, right? It was like bread and food on whatever you had in your barn, right? The cows and, rabbits, pigs, whatever. People have their own things, right?
Yeah,
in their own gardens. And so it was really more of a, quieter, not so busy, not an urban living, more of a, it's a village living. Yeah. Right?
So what age did you move to Canada?
We moved to Canada 20 years ago. I was 26, 27, yeah. that age with my husband. And before us, my father is a master mariner, and my mom is actually graduated from same college as me. So I kind of went following my mom in the printing industry. So they both, and my sister, they moved almost 22 years ago to Canada. But first my father, on a big ship, they came with the crew to, I think, Burrard Inlet, and he saw Vancouver and he fell in love with it. And when he came home, he told us about, and he said, "What do you think? I met Ukrainian diaspora community here and they were so friendly. Maybe we should think about it." So they thought about a little bit faster than us. And my husband and my son, my husband and me, we were both still in the university. So we need to finish them before applying to move to Canada for permanent for land immigrant or even the permission, right, to enter the country. So we had to graduate. And at the same time, I was pregnant. So we kind of, the kid happened. The kid was born. He's 22 years old now. We moved to Canada. He was 3 years old. I'm calculating wrong. So it's going to be 19 years we're in Canada? Yes, 19. So he was, plus minus 1 year.
It's a couple years between friends, right?
So he was 3 years old. I think it will be 20 in May, because that's when we arrive, in May.
Yeah.
And he will be in June 23. So, and we arrive with our three-year-old, and my parents were already here, so it was really helpful for them to a little bit support us while I was studying English, as I had zero knowledge. I learned French in school, but really.
Well, French helps here in Canada.
Yeah, it is. It's a good language, but I don't know well. My pronunciation is pretty good, but I don't know much vocabulary, even though my son went to French immersion, and I was helping him to study. So how weird is that? It just happened. So we kind of follow the parents, and we apply. We got approved, and we came to Canada. And since then, we were growing really stable. My husband would go to school, and then I would go to school, learn English. He would study something professionally, because he's got so many degrees. And now he just graduated with a registered nurse. Bachelor of Science as well. Yeah, I know. And he's got PhD in linguistics, and he's got the master diploma in men's tailoring. And a lot. I'm super proud of him. And and I have, I graduated from college with honors, and then I was taken to kind of, you can apply to university, and they will either take you or have to pass the exams. I didn't need any exams because I was a really good student, so they just accept me. And I graduated with master degree engineering in printing industry. So in Canada, I started from scratch because nobody cared about my diploma. That's what we are facing when we're coming to the country. You need to learn English and you need to grow from there. I was cleaning houses for $5 an hour. That's okay. There's no shame in that, really. We were building managers to manage the building while kid was going to school. So we did that job. And then slowly I started my professional career growth in industry, and from graphic designer to supervisory position. And then from there, I went to managing few departments. And then from there, I end up in a company that I was doing planning and estimating, and it's a multi-million dollar company. So I was proud of what I achieved in the industry, because you need to know a lot to plan it right and price it right. And then one day, just thing happened, and life throws you really beautiful things at you. Not really, but you know, it's how you take it.
It depends on how you look at
how
it,
you
right?
Look at it, yeah. So for me, I received this crazy, crazy news from nowhere. Lucky me, that I had a brain tumor, and further exams and tests show up that I also have fibromyalgia and arthritis. So we monitored brain tumor for a year. It grew double. So that's what I'm saying. It's lucky, because if I would not know I have it and it grew over a few years, it would push my brain, I don't know, aneurysm, any side effects. I could have been dead, maybe driving the car. You never know, right?
Yeah.
So lucky me, they found it, and I call it the best brain tumor I ever had. You know, like the best cake you had, or this was the brain tumor. And it changed my life forever, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's what happened. So I changed it from being more career oriented and nothing else, and keeping up with Jonas's or whatever, the best car, the best house, the best everything. I went to more of what makes my family happy. What should I do to make my life more fulfilling and happy as well? So from that point, I think when you look at it a different way, not the money driven, but more of a community driven, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like you go back to it. What can you do? I start with the She Talks from day one. We are now 4 years old and on the team of the She Talks. And that was my very first kind of involvement in the public speaking. So I share my story and the feedback were amazing. So I thought, well, if this changed one person's perspective on life, then why don't I go further? So I start to kind of support women, joined the networking events, went to many different community support groups, and also participated helping our Tri-City Coquitlam election. So for me, I met all of these amazing people that you would not meet if you just close yourself and just stay at home.
That was another place that we met up, was the NDP campaign, because we both got involved in the NDP campaign. I think we saw.
I'm non-partisan, so I'm not really.
You mentioned.
But I probably I was attending some.
Somebody, something. you were helping somebody with their campaign.
Yes,
In Coquitlam.
Yes.
And she's. I know that the person is she was an NDP candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that
maybe.
Yeah. I think we were in some of the same rooms on that.
Probably.
Because.
You see, that's why I attended so many.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was asked to come in as a photographer to many events.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, probably that's. I remember.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Yeah, you were photographing a lot of things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there was the fashion shows too. I think with Carolyn Bruce and.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what a few of those. That's how we met.
Yeah, because some of the fashion shows are really amazing. Especially in how there's another photographer that I know that showed up as a guest to a couple of the shows. She's blind and a photographer.
Yes.
And Kathy Brown.
Yes, Kathy Brown.
Yeah, and some of the events she was treated very well. Mm-hmm. It was and the one event that I know that she wasn't treated very well at. I didn't see you, or there was no connection. It was just we. Somebody had sent me a blurb, come help photograph, and I was down there, and they weren't very nice to these two ladies that had low vision.
It's a shame.
You know,
it's a stigma, I think, too, right? People think if you don't see well, and I think with her, probably it's more visual, right? And there's people who, like myself, I am legally disabled because I don't have a peripheral vision. My vision is very tunnel. I'm in pain every day.
Yeah.
So there is like hidden disability, and there is also visual ones that you can see. So I think people's stigma when they see it, it's not right. And it's a shame because you should not judge that way.
Right? Yeah, that's
right. You should
right.
not be judged that way.
Yeah.
And when I speak and people are very receptive and then they find out that I have disability, they kind of go, oh. And then you talk more saying, yes, and I do fashion design. Yes, and I support this and I do that. And I'm a pageant queen. Then people just, their eyes go crazy square or whatever. Humongous, well, right?
You're not allowed to do that sort of stuff. You
kind
have
of, yeah, exactly.
What's that? How could that be?
It's pretty much like a stigma behind it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. And in that respect, you're breaking a lot of molds. And I think, Kelly, you're giving me a signal for the break?
Yes, we are. So we are coming back in just a moment. You are Tune On Community Living Show. We are also on Facebook.
It's actually working this time. Everybody should be able to hear us this time because we have our guests here in the
exactly.
studio.
Exactly. So there we go. And yeah, so we will be back in just a moment.
Yeah.
And now, a three-minute segment with Michael Rubin Clogs.
And welcome back to 3 Minutes with Michael. I'm here again at the Co-op Radio Station. And today is topic is about focus on what you want. So many times we actually focus on what we don't want, especially when we talk about things like anti-bigotry, anti-racism. Whenever you put an anti in front of what you don't want, you're actually adding more focus to the item that you don't actually want. Instead of, say, anti-racism, say, pro-respect or pro-kindness to all, things like that. You want to make sure that, that what you're focusing on is what the end result that you want to have happen. By saying I'm against something, you're actually putting more energy into what it is that you may actually be against, in which case you get more of what you don't want. It's something people really talk about about this is people who are really involved in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, because they will tell you how your language can predetermine what your result will be. How you say things and how you put words out there actually determine what your end result is going to be. So if you put words into effect that describe what it is that you want to see happen as a end result, you're more than out to likely to get that result too. When you put things into what it is that you don't want, then you're going to get more of what you don't want. It's counterintuitive what you do to what most people might think. So if you're against bigotry, you're actually asking for more bigotry. If you say you're for respect, you get more respect. And there's other things along with this. If you think that you're being discriminated against, you might actually want to center yourself and fill yourself with more self-respect so that you don't experience the discrimination, which is disrespect. Fill yourself, fill your focus with the things that you want, and you will receive a bountiful of the things that you do want. So that's it for today. Focus on what you want. Remember, you can live a balanced life. Focus on it, and it will happen. Thank you, and bye for now.
The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of each year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting exclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and more. For more information, contact your local stations about the National Access Day. All right, you're tuning into the Community Living Show on the NCRA stations, and we're broadcasting live on Facebook right now, and we are also on CITR 101.9 FM, and of course I'll give the details of the radio stations afterwards. So we're here with Michael Clogs, and tell us about our guests. And of course the guest is a difficult name, almost.
Yeah, her last name is difficult to say. Tatiana is easy to say. It's her last name that I always have trouble with, but that's okay. So we were talking about your sense of community.
Yep.
And how that all translates, especially after you discovered that you had a hidden disability with a brain tumor, fibromyalgia, and things like that. So, but okay, so. Some people, I volunteer a lot with the Fibromyalgia Wellspring Foundation in Langley. Mm-hmm. Yes, Cheryl Young, I'm giving you a plug.
Hi, Cheryl, on Facebook.
That's good.
so many of those people, they say, "Oh, I'm sick and I can't do anything." You said, "So what? I have this. I may wake up in pain, but you still do stuff."
So. Yes, I am sick most of the time, and nobody sees that. But it's also your choice. Do you want to be there? It's a fine line that's impossible to even explain. Because some days you wake up in the morning and it takes you a few hours to even get up. But you have to find in your mind something that will drive you to get up and do stuff. Mm-hmm. And that something will overcome the pain that you have physically. So your mental drive should be the one that drives your body. That's right. For me. Otherwise, you will be all depressed at home, doing absolutely nothing. And from that, I found out, because I was depressed and I was at home, and I know how it is. And I feel people who are going through depression, especially with the chronic pains. Mm-hmm. I've been there. Believe me, I was. But I found power in me to find out something that makes me internally so happy and crazy about that I will forget about my pain and I will move on with my day focusing on that good thing. And I think that's why I've been so humble to say this, but being very successful doing what I'm doing in a way of, like, I don't have to stay at home. I don't have to be caged in my own pains and the chronic disease that I have, which, you know, arthritis is very taking toll on you. And it's progressive disease too, because it doesn't go away. It right. stays there. So you have to find also, like, I'm trying to find natural remedies like turmeric and the little, you know, oils and so on, less of the painkillers, because those are not good for your internal organs. So I'm trying to even figure out, like, what food can I eat that had more anti-inflammatory in them, so it will be easier on my body. And some people are judging about the weight loss and weight gain. It's all very personal to everybody. It's super personal, right?
Yeah.
I sometimes feel that I like myself the way I am. And some days I feel I have extra pounds that I need to lose. It will be better for my joints. So it's exactly, right?
Yeah.
So it's up to you how you feel inside your body. And I always say it, and I think that that's why I go mentally to the basics. Your body is the home for your soul. And if this home is all rotten and bad and there is no stability, then your soul will be like that.
Right.
So you have to really love your home, because you love your home that you really live in. You do mm-hmm. interior design. You cook for yourself. You create your home as your sanctuary. Why don't you do this for your body too, right? My body was a bit with the pain. So, for example, if you compare this to the house, the house could have mold and could have a little rotten pipes and, you know, kitchen is falling apart. What are you going to do? Like, this is the house you'd have to deal with. So you fix stuff that is not good.
Right.
So you should do the same to yourself. So that's how I look at things that mm-hmm. way. So if I can fix something, and because this is my home for my soul, and my soul is very important to me because that's me.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You said a lot there, comparing your the physical house that you live in versus your body, because if the spirit of the people who live in the house aren't happy, the house does quirky things, right?
Yeah.
And the same thing, if you have the ability to fix your soul.
Yes, exactly. So
the doctors can't.
Nobody
fix that.
Can help you unless you want to help yourself.
Right.
I know that for sure, because mm-hmm. I could have been, after surgeries, losing vision, and I was always a visual person because I grew up with, like, fashion design, cross-stitching, grandma, you know, and in the printing industry, you're all visual. It's all about marketing and products, right?
Yeah.
And graphic design. So your eyes is your part of your tool beside mm-hmm. your brain and the hands that you're doing stuff with. So for me, losing peripheral vision and having this vision that is not 100% what I had before when I was born, since I was born, it was very difficult and very kind of, like, painful. Like, why don't I see like I used to see? This is not right. And you get upset with it and you're depressed with that and you can do certain things. But then again, if I can do something slowly on my own pace, then I can do it. And I push myself to do it as much as I can. Same thing with sewing and doing things for fashion design. I cannot do repetitive work because of the arthritis and the pain is there. Right?
Right.
Same thing with the shoulders and whatever fibromyalgia is kicking me. I cannot do that much of repetitive work. But there is ways to do it. if I want to be eco-designer, like I am trying to save the fabrics and create garments out of that, so people can see that you don't have to mass produce. You can do garments that are very attentive to the person you're making it for, and use some, not use somebody, but collaborate with somebody who can sew it for you.
Right, go back to the community.
Yeah, exactly. Go back to the community and then present this together and make it happen together. If you cannot do it, then somebody else will help you with that. You just have to reach out.
Right.
Yeah. And some people are like very afraid to do so.
Well, why do you?
I don't know. I don't like, know. They're like, why would I do that? Because that's your life and that's your choice. You should.
Yeah.
That's kind of like I look at the things.
Yeah. I agree with you. It's okay to reach out to others, and life isn't a solo act, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think we all should be sitting in the four walls. And again, I'm not judging who have mental illnesses and things like that. Believe me, I think it's generational disease that we should be very serious about it, because it's also, we have young generation coming up with that too. I think it's all in food. I think it's all in social media. I think it's all bothering us, from bombarding from all kind of sources, and we have generation that is zombied out. And social media is pretty good. Like, look at the Facebook. Everybody sees what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it's too much sometimes when you see this constantly. Everybody's just their eyes there. Where's your human touch? You have to wake up. Take yourself for 1 hour, put it on the side, the rest of the day spend with people.
Yeah.
And that way there will be less mental health problem. I believe in that very much.
The social media is a tool to help us
find
a human touch.
Because,
is that human touch like important? It helps us heal. We gain energy and things like that, and we share energy when we touch, right?
Yes, it's true. So, and then how would you you can find people on the Facebook. Right now I have, for example, a little community of lots of them, actually. There is the Mrs. Canada Globe community, which I, you know, support and love, and I met a lot of women there. Now I have the part of Mrs. Globe community, which will be, I'm so excited to meet those women because they're amazing. I also have my Ukrainian community, and with the Ukrainian community, one person just posted something saying, girls, do you want to meet? We organize all of this, and there is like 20 of us sitting around the table and having communication without the social media. So it's a very, very good tool, but don't abuse it to the point when you're isolated from the world, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's exactly the point. Is like when it becomes everything, and you can't reach out across the table and hug somebody.
Like, the connections that you make as a human, it's nothing like connections you make on the social media.
I know.
You just, I don't know, right? I'm a hugger. I love to give hugs to everybody.
She does give really good hugs, too.
Yes, just for me, that's the sharing of the energy. Yeah. And somebody taught me there's supposed to be like a 30-second hug. That one is improving your mental health, too. 30-second hug. So you hold it, the person.
Oh.
For 30 seconds. Doesn't matter your partner, your parents, your kid. You have to hold it there. You will like, this is like exchange of the energy, something in there. It's truly amazing. We did this little campaign last year in front of the art gallery. We were wearing Ukrainian outfits. Me and we had a girl, she was Miss Vancouver, Miss Ukrainian Vancouver. Mm-hmm. We were giving free hugs in front of the art gallery, and response of people was amazing.
Yeah.
So just, again, human touch.
Yeah.
So it's just, I think that's important.
Yeah. And there's, I know there's a lot of community that that I've seen you at, because we were at anti-bullying campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And you were the biggest hugger there.
Yes, bullying is a huge problem too. Yeah. I think it comes from sitting behind the social media screen and judging everybody, or being judged.
Yeah.
And it's easy to just, oh, what she's wearing. Oh, she's doing that. Oh, she's doing this. You go outside and connect with that person. And if you get to know them, you will never bully them. And bullying in school comes from that as well. Because you think you can say something to somebody. Well, try to put yourself in their shoes. You cannot do that. So just like, I think we also lack a little bit of education on it as well. We should teach kids from starting from kindergarten that, you know, there is a limitation to certain things they should be telling other kids. And it comes from the family and comes from the community. Back to the community, back to the basics. Yes?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Some of the, because we were both at that particular campaign, and one of the most recent campaigns that I was at, and I actually videotaped it for another friend. It was the anti-bigotry.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting.
Some of it is what we focus on. If we focus on the fact that we're going to be loved and respected, that we get more love and respect.
Mm-hmm. Well, some people, like, this is also comes to the beliefs as well. I believe, some people believe in God, some people believe in universe, some people believe in law of attraction. It's all up to you who you believe and what you believe. Mm-hmm. But every person internally, we have our own faith and we have our own hopes. And every person in the universe, this is 100% true, need to be loved.
Right.
That's the human touch. Yeah. It doesn't matter who would love you, your kid, your dog, your parent, your partner, anybody. But you need that because that's the human nature of it, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter how you're
going
to divide it up. If you want to go the religious way, the spiritual way, the universal way, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It all boils down to, we all need love.
Exactly. And the energy that we were talking about, it's all subconnected.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to promote further on the bigger stages, like being Mrs. Canada. So people pay more attention, I think.
Let's continue on after the break, if that's okay with
you.
Yeah,
of course.
All right. So you're tuned into the Community Living Show. I'm, of course, Kelly on the controls, Michael Cloggs on hosting.
And Tatiana Galota.
On guests. So we will be back in just a moment. The Community Living Show is stories for the people with disabilities, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and many other issues, along with accessibility issues. If you want to participate and are a member of any of the NCRA radio stations, including this station that you're listening to in the area, or if you have any story idea and want to become involved in the technician personnel, please email us. Our email address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com. No experience necessary. People with disability or non-disability are welcome to the show.
Would you like to get updates on your smartphone in an emergency, even if a cell tower is down? It is possible if the FM chip is activated in your phone. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
He's a nasty, nasty guy. He's a liar.
Get him out of here. Get him the hell out of here. Get him out of here.
Who is this guy? Does he have a name? Let me know where he's from.
They call me
DJ Ray.
The Late Night Show is the start of the weekend. Tune in every Saturday mornings from 12:30 a.m. till late, right after the Medicine Show. Email us, CITRLateNightShow@gmail.com.
This concludes our proposal. Thank you for your attention.
And we're back on the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. My name is Kelly. Across from me is Michael. And across from me is Tatiana.
You did it right.
Okay,
yes.
I got it right. Anyways, final segment.
It is a bit of a joke how we butcher words and names. So it's kind of funny because I do a lot of public speaking and I still like mispronunciate things.
It's okay. This country is so diverse, right?
Yeah.
I cannot pronounce some names either. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very complicated. It's cultural.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we all kind of, it's all good in Canada.
So all of the things we talk about, the love, the respect, the hugs and everything, it sounds like that's what you're trying to wrap all into the no size, no number.
Yes, the positivity of it. And your body is your castle pretty much. So,
yeah.
And you choose what you're going to do. So no size, no number for me, it's a good movement for... It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. There's always like a body issues. I think men have less of them, but still they do. And men are not so much speaking out about it.
No, we don't speak out about it.
That's what I mean. And women are more vocal about it, so we hear more of a women movement towards that than men. But men also have issues with that, big time. There's, you know, problems of getting older and going through menopause, which is, I think, scientifically it's called andropause. So that's the men menopause.
And it starts at
it's
age,
hormonal disbalance and then the gain of the weight and all of those things. It's, everybody goes through something.
Yeah. It starts for men, it starts at age 35.
Yes. I read about it.
Which is kind of funny because it's like, I think it's like at least 10 years before women or something like that. But we kind of...
Yeah, I know.
Systematically brush that under the rug.
Yeah, because men, you're trying to be strong. You're like, no, this is not happening with me, right? Yeah, but everybody have, you know, it's a body change. You're growing, you're human. That's all to it, right? But with my movement and also being now ambassador for the Embrace the Positivity of that, and also I think whatever I've done in the last 5 years, come to the point of I think I did right what I did. And I think I'm continuing doing what I can to still do empower women and inspire them to love who they are, no matter what age, what size they are, what nationality are, like what background they came from. Do they have problems or are they healthy or not healthy? It's all about the self-love, because if you do that, you will project the same thing to others. And it's also like it starts with you.
Right.
And if you do this to yourself, then you will do the same to another person.
Right.
Right? Otherwise, it's not going to work.
So on the self-love, if you start to love yourself, you actually will find the health that you need to mm-hmm. love others anyway, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And there is also the self-love, like I said in the beginning of the segment, that I empower myself mm-hmm. to do more because I know I can make a difference. And even... I don't know, the same, like the pageant, for example. It's 44 starting in that. Walking the Vancouver Fashion Week at the age of 44. I was petrified, the reaction of people. But I got such an amazing positive experience that I thought, like, who said no? Who told you that I cannot do this? Mm-hmm. And now, I probably you know Keiko, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Keiko gave me like crash course on how to walk professionally. And every season I walk for Vancouver Fashion Week, she's like, you're doing the better and better every year. So now she told me that I'm completely professional model. So I take that. She is a professional. She told me that. I will take it. But in the beginning, I was embarrassed of myself walking the runway. I thought like, why am I here? Why? What's the point? And then after a few months when you were kind of in the pages of the Vogue UK, you realized that you're probably doing something right.
There you go.
So that was really amazing kind of a thing. So I was lucky in the last few years to have this amazing publicity from everywhere because I put the positive energy out. I think that's why it came to me back. So Vancouver Fashion Week, I walk there. I've been, I think, in the Vogue UK 3 times now. I work for the Leslie Hampton. She's the Toronto designer. And she was promoting the body positive movement with Tia Duffy. And I was in her wolf pack walking the runway too. We end up in the fashion magazine. So with that one, and then I think I presented the eco design at the Eco Fashion Week in Vancouver. And I also was featured, not featured, but there was a feature, me and Caroline Bruce and a few designers in the Vogue India. And then, I don't know, this was almost like amazing things were happening because I opened my mind to it. I put the, my positive energy to it. And I presented something that was close to my heart. The Ukrainian traditional cross-stitching embroidery and all of this design that was from Ukraine, I presented there. And then at the Little Black Dress Gala, I did different collection with all butterflies and the skirts were all like movement on them and little hats and fascinators. So that was to support charity. So little things like that, and then you just go and try the pageant and you're winning the title and then you move on to another level. It's just like, for me, it was mind-blowing. In 1 year, so much happened, and I thought, oh, I should grow. I should do something, and that's what exactly I was doing in the past few years. Just taking myself more self-love. Yes, you can do this. And now I was invited also to mentor kids in North Vancouver District School. For their businesses and how to run them in a good way. So I'm excited about that. So no disability will ever stop you if your brain is able to think about the positivity and no size, no number. Embrace yourself completely and think about something that, what can you do to help others? What can you do to help yourself?
Right.
And that's kind of my message, I think, to the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so a beautiful message, too.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So that's probably why we keep winding up finding each other.
Yeah, probably. Because the energy, right?
Yeah.
It's magnetic. I would call it magnetic.
Yeah.
I am, with what I do, I still have this saying that's still in my head, is always, this is me, whatever I'm doing is here. I always look up to somebody as my mentor. Always. There is always people in my life who are, I look up to them as mentors.
So who's and your then, mentor now?
Oh, I have few women in my life. Of course, my mom. Of course, my diseased grandma, who I think is watching over me.
Oh, she's always around.
Always around me. So that's my biggest mentor. I have women in my life. For example, I have a friend of mine, Brinda Rossori. She was running for mayor of Surrey. She's on the board of directors for Fraser Health. This woman is top 50, I think, in Canada as influential.
Yeah.
She is my really good mentor, besides being a friend. And I have also women like Marilyn Wilson, Randy Winter, who are in the fashion industry and public relations.
Yeah.
And you can just look up to them, not because they're older than you, but there is more wisdom in them.
But Randy's such a character.
Oh, she is. I call her my Jewish mother because she gives you such a beautiful suggestions.
Yeah.
And they come full heart from your heart. Mm-hmm. So whatever she suggests and does, I was invited for the New York Fashion Week to present the collection there. And I was thrilled beyond myself. I even did the GoFundMe campaign to pay the fee. And the thing she told me that stuck with me, and she was right. Are you ready? And, you know, you have to face that. And I thought at that moment, like, what do you mean if I'm ready? I was invited. The ego kicks in. She goes, remove your ego. Are you production ready? If tomorrow Nordstrom will come and wants your dresses, are you ready? Oh, no, then stop. When you will be ready, you will go. I was just like, nobody can tell me what should do. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, this is the smartest thing that you will get from your mentor, the reality check, right?
Yeah.
Same thing I'm getting from my parents, for example. They will always go to the point of like, what are you getting out of it? Either it's your self-love, self-fulfillness, or material stuff. You need to see bigger picture. Mm-hmm. That's what they suggest. And with the phrase that I was saying, here is me looking to mentors, right? You always look at somebody, right? Who is inspiring you. I also am trying to reach out and grab somebody behind me who is younger and become their mentor because they need that help. So it's also like generation to generation, and I love that I could do all of those things, and there will be like in connection, right, with between generations. So I'm one of the chain, what do you call it? the chain links. That's what it is. Yes. Yeah. And then from one to another, that's how humans are. Yeah. Right?
You were thinking in Russian, weren't you?
Yeah, in Ukrainian. Yeah. Exactly. There's lots of things in saying in the culture that are very non-translatable. It's impossible to translate.
Yeah, I understand.
You're trying and people would like laugh a little bit.
I had to deal with that when I first moved here to Canada from the US. There were some colloquialisms that just never translated. I was like, I had to figure out that whole thing just doesn't work.
I know.
So what's the Canadian equivalent to that?
I have a friend, a girlfriend who is Italian, and another girlfriend, she's Portuguese. So all of those mix when we get together, it's just like she tries to, and they all speak English perfect. But when they try to translate with whatever cultural stuff comes with it, it's crazy funny.
Yeah. I bet you guys get really loud too, don't you?
It's culture.
Each is a festive culture. So.
It is, yes.
Yeah. Let's celebrate life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we're just about out of time. Yeah. So,
okay. So it's the best way to work with you, of course, No Size, No Numbers on Facebook.
On the Facebook, there is Instagram, the hashtag No Size, No Number. Mm-hmm. There is also, please reach me on my Facebook, Tatiana Galota. I think you will have my name on the community living video and everywhere. So the link will be, that's my proper saying of the name. And or you can see me on the shetalks.life. I am there with my bio as a part of the team. So you can reach me through there as well.
Okay, cool.
Many things. But thank you guys so much. Mm. It was fun. I was talking too much.
No, you weren't talking too much.
This is good. You don't, good information.
You don't have to worry about that. This is about us displaying you as an expert and a great person in our community.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
That's kind of how this works, right? So, Kelly, go ahead.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
If you want to participate on the next special guest, please email us, both myself and Michael, communityliving.radio@gmail.com. That's the website, communityliving.radio, all in one word, @gmail.com. We're on three different stations right now. First one we're on that you're listening to right now is on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca. We broadcast from 1 to 2 o'clock every Tuesdays. On Sundays on Vancouver's Co-op Radio, CFRR 100.5 FM. Check them out, www.coopradio or coopradio.org. We broadcast Sundays from 10 to 11. And we're hoping to have CHLY on the program. We just got information on the show. So hopefully support your communities all around across British Columbia. Check them out, chly.ca. That's the website, and of course check them out on their shows and stuff as well. And of course we're also on the NCRA program exchange. Check out previous.ncra.ca. Thank you very much, y'all.
Thank you.
And we'll hope to see you all next week.
Thank you.
Take care. Right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me.
Listen.
Radio is an important means of communicating 3,000 years of habit in terms of diapering of babies.
Well, please tell me more.
Because radio reaches people, including those hard-to-get young people. Radio goes where they go and talks their language, recognizing the importance of contemporary sound.
And the sounds are instantly recognizable as belonging to the